So Pastor Steve Hammond came up and did the pastoral prayer. And many of you remember Pastor Steve from when he was an associate pastor here at Columbia Street. And we really appreciated him during that time. And we know he's still at the church in New Hampshire. And the nice fall picture that was up as church started, I thought that was Steve's church, and he said it probably is a picture of a church in the neighborhood, but not Steve's church. And let me read this to you. What if Jesus, the Apostle Peter, and others came not from the Middle East, but from down east, and not 2,000 years ago, but only back a few decades, maybe the 70s, 1970s. What if Simon, son of John, was better known as Simon Johnson and went by the nickname Rock? And what if Jesus went by his normal name of Joshua, or Josh for short? What might the gospel stories look like and sound like? To answer those questions come from a guy named Rock Johnson, and he aims to take you on a journey, both familiar and brand new at the same time. So here's Rock Johnson.
My name is Rock Johnson. My dad was a lobsterman, and his dad before him. You'll notice an awful lot of fishermen are named Johnson, and so I am too. But I ain't always been called Rock. That's just a nickname I got from a fella. My real name's Simon. But that nickname tells more about me than my real name. More than I ever could imagine some years ago. And that fellow who first called me Rock did so first time he ever laid eyes on me. It was like he could see right through me. Let me tell you, I got a brother, Andy. Helped run the fishing business with my dad and me. Well, one day he hauls me off the dock like a tangled trap and sets me in his pickup truck and starts driving kind of fast and excited like. "You gotta see this guy, Simon," Andy says. "I guess I gotta," I replied. "You'll like him, Simon, and he's gonna love you, I can tell." And Preacher John says outright, "This man's no ordinary evangelist. This is a Lamb of God who can pay for our sins." "No small amount in your case," my brother bantered. So Andy took me to see the man. He's living in a two-room apartment over the general store next to the church where he'd been invited to preach some. We knocked on the door. "Come in," the man answered. Andy opened the door and pushed me in first. He started to introduce us back and forth, but before he could get too many words out, This fella slowed Andy right down with a knowing smile and a finger over his lips. He stretched out his arms and said, "So, you are Simon Johnson." He was a lot more excited about it than I was. And he just kind of looked at me with the sort of eyes that search out the ocean at dawn or the stars at night. Finally, he spoke up with words I won't never forget. "You'll be called Rock," he said. "Rock Johnson." I weren't expecting that, so I come up with something really clever in response. "Huh," I said. "Hey, yeah," he replied. "Really," I come back. "Yeah, yeah. Oh, well, I'm gonna call." That's what I'm gonna call you. Before it fits you. But you'll catch on eventually. Then he walked over to Sove and asked us if we'd like some beans. "They're all hot," he said. Andy sat right down like he was already home or something. I did the same thing, but moved kind of slow, as I was still thinking about that name and that fella, Josh, who gave it to me. I got to tell you something. My dad had to take the boat out loan soon after that, because I took on this man's new name, and Andy and I followed him. But I sure enough didn't live up that name at the start. Even after 3 years, I still had times when I felt lower in a clam flat instead of solid as a rock. But I come through, eventually, like a rock. Because that fella with outstretched arms was always looking at me with them explorer eyes of his and calling me Rock. Like he meant it. He's still doing it to this day. Like he's been doing since the first time he ever laid eyes on me. It was like he could see right through me. I'm telling you, you've got to see this guy for yourself. I'll bet he's got a wicked good name for you. Hang on. I'm a preacher. Never thought I could be such a thing with the amount of education I ain't had. But I was told otherwise from a man who knows learning better than my dad knows lobstering. And I learned to listen to him. Let me tell you, one day, this fella, Josh, he was preaching up a storm from the back of my butt at the head of Mackerel Cove on Bailey Island. He was telling the funniest stories and hammering home wicked good points to ponder. All kinds of people was crowded round Darrell's wharf and other property. They was tourists, natives, no matter. Everyone was listening just the same. I was marveling at how this ordinary fella could preach right up there with Preacher John. When kind of sudden-like, he stopped. Said he was done talking for now. Felt like going fishing. "Fishing?" I queried. "You mean lobstering?" "Yeah," he replied at length. I looked at him, kind of quizzical. "You do realize we've been hauling traps most of the day and don't got much to show for it, neither." "Yeah," was his confirmation. Well, don't suppose them lobsters would mind us disturbing the traps before they even had time to climb in, I speculated. Well, Josh looked back my way with that knowing smile of his. You might just be surprised, he offered. Then looking around, he motioned out the cove. Let's go back over some of them traps and see what we got. Now, Jimmy and John, they's brothers, they weren't looking too pleased, neither of them, at the prospect of being taken along for the ride. But I figured maybe this guy was not just talking frivolous. From what I'd seen of him, it was worth taking the guy at his word and taking a look. So they dismissed the crowd and I started the engine. That's not the engine, that's me clearing my throat, but kind of like the engine. And I had to say, if it was anybody else, I said loud, so it's to be heard over the revved up and slightly muffler impaired Glenna J. I'd tell them they could take a hike, but we'll do whatever you say, I said. We set out the cove for hauling traps, traps we'd just hauled that afternoon. Well, don't you know? We come up on the first buoy, attach the line to the pothauler, and wait for the trap to come up from the bottom. I reached out over to swing it over the side of the boat and could not believe my eyes. Not only was it full of them buggers inside, they was hanging like fancy clothespins on the outside as well. Whoa, will you look at that, Jimmy cried. And John was speechless. We had six traps on the line, so we commenced to haul up another one. Wouldn't you know? Same thing happened with the next trap. Jimmy cried, same exact thing. Whoa, I think maybe a little louder this time. Will you look at that? And John, well, he might have said nothing even more emphatic than before. And Josh, well, he looked on. That's what he did, kind of grinning. We kept hauling up traps and kept being surprised every time. It was just a few hours before we had a day's worth of lobsters. And if we'd gone till dark, we'd have had all we could do to keep from spilling them over the side of the boat. Now, somewhere along the way, the brothers and I got wind of a thought. Let me tell you. We figured Josh was still kind of preaching at us, even after he'd stopped talking. But unlike my easy listening back at the cove, I was feeling mighty strange to be around a man who shouldn't have no business being around the likes of me. I set myself on the deck, about eye level with them boots of his. You should let us take you ashore, sir, I said, speaking courteously in the direction of them boots. You shouldn't be out here with the likes of me. It's okay, Simon, he said. Don't be afraid of me. Then he commenced to standing me upright and heading us back toward the cove. Come on, he said. Let's try the fishing back on land. Land fishing? What's back on land for fishing? Old Jimmy cried again. Well, Josh answered him. Priceless catches of men, women, neighbors, even Highlanders. Brother John, he broke his silence abruptly. Now, how you gonna do that? With fishermen, Josh persisted, the likes of you, he added kind of that smack-like while he's looking at me. Well, we started to catch on. Come, follow me, and you'll catch men rather than lobsters and tuna fish. And we did. It was that day we left the boat and the lobsters for preaching. Preaching to folk just like you, who are listening to the likes of me here. And from the looks of you, I imagine you might even catch on quicker than old Simon. Yeah, I imagine. Coming up with them lobsters was the way Josh did. It was some impressive, even to the Hansen boys sitting on the dock in front of the Quonset hut back on Bailey Island. They didn't take my word for it, though, when I was saying it was Josh's miracle working that did it. They said I must have been saving up them buggers, trying to make some big impression on the news on WABZ. I challenged them all to come to church, but they said they was afraid the roof would fall in as they did. Well, that was considerate of them to stay away on that account. So I invited them to listen to Josh next time he preached from the back of my boat. I doubt the sky would cave in on you there, as I looked up the sky just to reinforce the idea. Well, is that all he does is preach? Louis asked, changing the subject, kinda. He was the oldest of the three, and he was old school when it come to work. He still hauled his traps without a pot hauler, and he had the arms to show it. Dow, I said, like maybe preaching ain't work, you know. Now, Josh is a working man. He's living in my workshop, working on work days, as well as the day of rest. Does he pay rent? The middle brother, Loogie, asked. I don't ask him to, I said. The guys just lifted their chins a bit, skeptical-like. Truth is, I said, Josh wouldn't take a dime for his preaching and ministering. If he did, I bet he'd be huge, huger than Howard Hughes. Sounds like he's a charity case to me, said Flem, brother number three. As he made a liquid contribution to the Atlantic over the side of the dock. The guy's got some skills, let me tell you, I said, still talking about Josh, not Flem and the other brothers there, who all inherited their talent for spitting right along with their names, Louis, Loogie, and Flem. Well, like what, Loogie said, what skills? Like them lobsters I told you about, which you don't believe in. The three of them looked at each other and said in bad harmony, we weren't there, making sure to emphasize the first syllable of a one-syllable word, which they broke into two. Hey, my own mother-in-law had a wicked fever shortly after that catch, I said. When Glenna told Josh about it, they went up to her room, and Josh took the woman by the hand, not to comfort her, mind you, but to pull her out the bed. She didn't even complain. Didn't have time to. By the time her feet reached the floor, the fever was broke. You could tell she was her old self again because first thing she did was ask Josh if he'd like a toasted cheese sandwich for lunch with tomato soup as she headed for the kitchen. Nice story, Louie, come back. But she's your mother-in-law, not mine, so none of us was there to see what you're telling us. I wrapped my hand around my beard. Fine. What about when Josh saved that wedding from disaster at Library Hall 2 weeks ago, when the party run out of Sam's homemade root beer and moxie? Ooh, they said together, good stuff. Folks would have flat out left the reception if it hadn't been for Josh. Talking the caterers into filling them kegs with tap water and serving it up for the guests. Tap water, you say, said Loogie. Yeah. That's what they did. But Josh said a blessing And next thing you know, there was some serious marveling going on. Best homemade brew ever. We heard about that, Flem said. I'm glad they had a good time. And then he got his brothers to nod as he said, but we weren't there to see it or taste it. Well, what about that time when Josh accompanied the pastor visiting all them sick folks, and next thing you know, they ain't sick. Showed up in church next week. Nice story, Louis said. We weren't there. So that's all they is. Nice stories, Flem finished saying that, together with the others. And they all made another contribution to the Atlantic over beside the dock. I was beginning to wonder about my land fishing abilities here. Well, I suppose the sun wouldn't come up in the morning, I said, should you ever decide to sleep in late, because you weren't there. They looked at me, sour-faced. Well, just then, a black pickup truck come down the Bass Rock Lane and stopped without any attempt, backing off to the side. It was the Hansen boys' dad, Hawker Hansen. And they gave him an unusual greeting before he even got out the truck. Oh, no, you don't, Loogie said. Mr. P.U., don't you come near us or we'll throw you in the cove. His brothers stood in agreement around him. That ain't no way to talk to your dad, I said. Dad got himself in a big old argument with a honking big skunk just this morning, Flem explained. We ain't taking no chances here. However, Mr. Hansen got out and walked to the dock. Mom won't even let you in the house, Loogie continued, so you ain't coming up here. But old Hawker Hansen kept right on walking, grinning from ear to ear. But with his grisly face, it was hard to tell if that was a good thing or a bad thing. It looked like there might be a pushing war as he come right up to us close. How do I smell, boys? He asked with a grin. It kind of looked genuine now. The boys hesitated. I was holding my breath a bit, but eventually we had to breathe. Actually, you smell kind of minty. You don't stink. Well, I got a chair for Mr. Hawker, for him to sit down, and he started to explain himself. I just met that Josh guy everyone's talking about. I saw him sitting on the side steps at the general store, and I was some desperate, so I pulled over and walked right up to him. We had words. You can tell me I stink if you want to, I said to him. Is that what you've come for? The guy answered back, without even making a face or nothing. I took a big breath and blurted out my concern. Surely you could make me clean if you really wanted. I said that right up to his face. He put his hand out, not to push me away, but to put it on my shoulder, and he asked me, do you think I'm against you being clean for some reason? He didn't give any ground either as I was up next to him. And then he spoke. I most certainly do want you to be clean. Be clean, he said. That was it. Be clean, he said. And I was clean. No stink. Not on me. Not on my clothes. Not on my truck. Nothing. Then he said, don't tell anyone about this. Sure, I said. What's the sense of that, though, I thought. Now, Hawker ended his telling of the story there. That Josh guy also got me to be going to the Sinner Church, talk to the pastor like I needed religion or something, but I didn't ask him for that. And I ain't even, you know, it's not the day of rest or nothing, so I didn't go. Well, that was his story. But I added this. Well, there you go, I beamed, trying my hand again at some of that land fishing. You went there, but your dad's here, and he don't stink. Smelling sweet, even, which is a small miracle in itself. You gonna believe now? The boys looked confused as they looked to their dad as to what to say next. They stopped talking. They slowly walked their dad back to the truck. Seems all they did was pat with a friendly ceasefire. But I knew that they knew that I knew that they was caught. Like mackerel on a drop line. It was just gonna take a while for God to reel them in. Eventually, them Hawker Hansen boys, they ended up in church. And I restrained myself from making a large boom sound for the roof falling in. Well, soon after that, they asked Josh to baptize them. Now, Josh never would actually do the baptizing. He always got the pastor to do that. And still, more and more people was showing up as they started hearing about Josh and his miracles. They showed up at church, at Mackerel Cove, and even at my house on Summer Hill, with most all of them needing some kind of healing, casting out of demons, or miraculous stink removal. And healing, casting out demons, catering wedding receptions, and making stinkers clean stinkers. This Josh guy's got some serious skills. Amen.